Welcome, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. We obviously missed last week. It feels like it's been way longer than a week that we've missed, doesn't it, Ben? Loads yep. to talk about. Obviously, we've got the last 2 weeks of Twitch news, YouTube updates, what's going on with Twitter, all those kind of things. But first of all, yeah, as always, I'll introduce my co-host, Ben. How have you been? How was your, not bank holiday, what do you guys call it in America, your Monday holidays?
Just a holiday, a national holiday or public holiday, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't have a fancy name like bank holiday over here, but it was good. Helped some people move, so that was always fun. How was your bank holiday over there in the UK?
Yeah, it was good. What did we get up to? I think we went to go and watch A Quiet Place 2, the follow-up like horror thriller film, which was pretty good. Very, very similar to the first one, so you kind of knew what you're going to get. But yeah, we've had great weather like the last 2 weeks basically in the UK, and we only usually get 3 or 4 weeks of good weather in our summer holidays over here, and then it just goes back to that grey sky, rainy British weather that we're all so familiar with. But as always, loads of members in the chat introducing themselves straight away, so say hi to a few of them: Michael, Hawk TV, Mr. Breadman, Boss Bill, and many wow. others. Yeah, there you go. You got to get the whole name in. See, I'm not versed in it. Twitch streamers are so good at being able to read like a subset of somebody's name. But loads to talk about, Ben. So why don't we dive straight in with what does feel like quite old news now, which is the Twitch tags. We covered it in the last episode, but they've actually released the tags now. So if I swap to the screen share, we can see here we have a page that Twitch have put up, twitch.tv/directory/all/tags. And it is just the list of all of the tags that you can now use to mark your stream or which category you're streaming in, as well as some automatic tags that are automatically applied. And you can search them, you can see what's available, what they've added. I haven't really gone through this in too much detail, Ben, but what have you seen?
Yeah, so there's a ton of tags, as you can see here, 300 plus. And there's really quite a lot of different types of tags too, everything from like specific things to the game you're playing, which some of these have been around, so it's not clear which of these are new per se versus ones that existed, but even like nationality and different types of stuff you're doing with art, things like that. So there's quite a bit of diversity, and so far it seems like it's been a pretty good reception. I know, like you said, it's been a couple weeks since these came out, and we've been able to talk about them, and there was a lot of, at first there was a lot of worry about this being abused for targeting people. But I haven't really seen any cases of that happening just yet. I've seen a few anecdotal posts on Reddit, people saying like, it seems all good. Haven't really had any problems with it yet. So that I think is kind of good. It still could happen in the future, but so far it seems like a good feature. I honestly kind of forgot about them already, if I'm being honest, because I haven't really used them. But maybe people in the chat have more stories of using these, because I'd love to hear some of that side too.
Yeah, I think what we didn't know when they announced that they were going to be adding so many new tags is if they were all going to be like tags you could use to identify your race, religion, what you believe in, all those kind of things, or if it was going to be a big overhaul. And it does actually appear now that it's a big overhaul. So, you know, you've got 12-hour challenge as a tag or badminton as a tag. So they've really put as many things as they can to separate your stream from other streams, so you can really niche down if you want. And if there's something here, a tag that doesn't exist that you think should do, there's a link at the top here to be able to, I guess, submit mm-hmm. your ideas, and if enough people upvote it, then they probably implement it as well.
Yeah, which is really cool. I know there's already been a lot of requests for certain features and tags being added, and it seems like there's some new staff even coming in to work on this stuff. So good to hear they're listening to people, because this was originally a request from the community. So hopefully they can keep that tradition going. I did see some weird stuff where they have like repeat tags sometimes for like a nationality that's also a state versus ethnicity, and so they have like duplicate tags in some sense, but I'm sure that's a small thing that'll get ironed out in the future, and maybe it's still worth to have both of them if you really need those in the future.
What's quite cool about this page, which I just found out, is that you can click on any of these and it actually takes you to browsing that tag on Twitch. So yeah, if you scroll through here and you see something that takes your fancy, I went on the boxing one, but badminton or Australian, you can click through it and then you can see all the streamers that are using the Australian tag. So pretty cool that you can browse Twitch that way. I hope they make it a bit of a better way of browsing than just this, but definitely interesting that these tags are being used already. Some of them are automatically applied, like I said at the start, and hopefully it's going to help with discoverability. I like I said in last episode, I don't think it's going to be a game changer in discoverability. Twitch obviously has a lot to do if they want to try and fix that, but it is definitely a step in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, having more options is better than not having them. And so I hope that maybe over time these get more use. I know there's also the limit where you can only add 5 at a time right now is what I heard. So one request I saw was to add a lot more. Obviously, don't people just spamming every tag on the site. But if there are multiple categories you fit into, that could be an improvement in the future. But I would love to see more of these baked into like a proper search with the tags coming up in there. And even like recommending other content based on the tags that you have on your channel and what they have. So I think there's a lot of potential stuff they could do with this system in the future as they keep building it out.
Oh, so is that the case? Right now, you can only add 5 tags at a time.
Yeah, that's what I saw on Reddit. I hope I haven't tested myself, but that's what I had heard was the case right now.
I mean, if they're going to allow you to niche down as much as this, then hopefully they'll also up the limit. But there does need to be a limit, doesn't there? Otherwise, people are going to try and be in every single category so that they're as, you know, discoverable as possible. It was the same back in YouTube's days when people were trying to spam their descriptions with tags or search phrases to try and get more results. But yeah, there needs to be a bigger limit than 5, I would think, because, you know, especially if you're going to put like you're Australian and you're streaming badminton and you want to, you know, go down that route a little bit further, then you should be able to categorize yourself. Not that there'll be many Australian badminton players right now on Twitch, I wouldn't think, but you never know. Could be the next niche that blows up, Ben. But yeah, nice little update. Let's move on to the second topic, which is I've just Googled how to pronounce his name and I've forgotten already. Did we go with Ibai?
I think it's Ibai.
Ibai. We really need to do more research on the Spanish side of streaming, don't we? The record, the second most viewed stream, has been broken. So now the top 2 streams on Twitch of all time are set by 2 Spanish streamers. So this guy, Ibai, who is a pretty prominent figure, especially if you've ever watched any League of Legends, I think he's a pretty prominent figure in that scene, has broken the record, or he set the second place record, basically, with 1.5 million viewers this week. And it was on a boxing event that he helped organize and was streamed on his channel, where some famous, I think, Spanish personalities either on Twitch or on YouTube live streamed their fight, kind of similar to like the KSI and Logan Paul thing, but I guess it's Spanish creators, and yeah, pulled in 1.5 million concurrent viewers. Obviously, that's still a way off the Gref G's 2.5 million I think it was at the start of this year, but now we've got these like 2 top Spanish streams that kind of, you know, they're way above Ninja's record of whatever it was, 600,000. What are your thoughts?
It's wild. Yeah, I mean, I remember, I think we talked about this with the Gref G too, but when Ninja hit the 2.5, or sorry, hit the 500,000, like 600K, that seemed insane at the time. And now we're at, you know, this stream is 3 times that almost, and Gref G's was 5 times that, which is just kind of mind blowing. But I guess it just really shows you how big the Spanish streaming community is. And we talked too about, if you look at Google searches for Twitch across the past year or so, just Spanish-speaking countries are blowing up for this for some reason. I don't know if Twitch is just doing a better job marketing in those areas now, and there's just more interest across the board, but it's a huge growth in those countries. So I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon with how these guys are going. And I kind of wonder if we'll see another break-the-record moment with Gref G stream in the future at the rate this is going right now.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that it is telling me is that we need to pay more attention to this. And you know, looking at Twitch Atlas and really paying a bit more attention, I think, to the Spanish side of things, because they make it seems that the whole Spanish community get behind a single streamer when they're creating big numbers like this, and obviously boxing events, they've been proven on YouTube, haven't they? I mean, literally last night we had Logan Paul versus Mayweather, which I think a lot of people felt robbed of their $50 for,
right?
But boxing events are always going to be high viewership because it's usually weeks leading up to it of smack talk, and people actually want to see at the end who's going to win because of all of this smack talk. So it doesn't surprise me that an event like this, hosted by a big Spanish prominent figure, is going to get big viewership. But I wonder if that it kind of sets the place where you can stream real sport events, because the big boxing events so far haven't really even been streamed anywhere, have they? They've been on pay-per-view places. So I wonder
not if legally.
No, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of legal streams up there. But I wonder if there's going to be people moving that content onto Twitch. I think we had somebody watching the stream a few weeks ago who was something to do with boxing, wasn't he? And he was wondering if he should start streaming. So I'd love to see more real sports. And this is a great way of bringing real sports in, because it's actually just 2 Twitch streamers or 2 YouTubes. And there was probably there's probably a lot of undercards as well, but clearly a lot of viewership for watching that fight at the end of the day. So yeah,
right.
Just wanted to update people on the records. We now have 2.5 million and 1.5 million, both set by Spanish streamers, and then, you know, the English speaking streamers, we're just small frogs in this huge pond now.
Exactly. It's more reason we gotta learn Spanish, because it seems like that's gonna be the future of Twitch, where this is going. I mean, it's just really cool. Even one thing that kind of came out, and I think this kind of went under the radar, Twitch did kind of like a celebration for Grefg's big stream that he had earlier this year and broke that record. They actually gave him his own emote that's global now across the whole platform called New Record. That looks like his face. And they also made this documentary for him to use on his channel and did like a live viewing, promoted it on Twitter, everything. So it's kind of cool to see them celebrate the Spanish community with some of that stuff, because it feels like it's pretty new, like I said, overall to Twitch. So cool to see them really recognizing that at the brand level and giving a lot of attention to that side of the community.
Yeah, they clearly realized that this is a global platform. And, you know, as much as they love their North American streamers, they need to be, you know, all encompassing if they want to compete with the big dogs of YouTube and Facebook, because otherwise YouTube and Facebook would snap up those markets, as we've seen with other forms of content. Let's move on to talk about our favorite four-letter word, the MCA, because about, what was it, a week and a half ago now, Twitch sent out an email. I think this was site-wide. I don't know. Did you get one as an affiliate?
Yep. I got it on all the accounts that I work with. So yeah. I think they sent out to everybody on the platform, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I thought this was site-wide. Basically, there's a screenshot here in my tweet that actually does fill the screen share. So I'll read it out for the people listening, but effectively it says that they're being committed to more transparency around DMCA, and overnight they received a batch of DMCA takedown requests from music publishers, and they'd never had this number in such a short period of time before. And then they're just trying to educate streamers, basically saying that they now believe the music publishers are going to be using some automated tools to scan streams whilst they are live, as well as VODs and clips. And, you know, it's really happening now, so you need to really think about the music. I feel like I just share the same tweet every few months when something like this comes up. There's plenty of places to get good copyright-free or, you know, properly licensed music, free and paid versions. So in my tweet here, I shared, you know, No Copyright Sounds, Stream Beats from Harris Heller, Pretzel Rocks, or I think they're just Pretzel, but the URL is Pretzel Rocks, so we keep calling them Pretzel Rocks, Monster Cat, Epidemic Sound. Epidemic Sound is who I use on all my YouTube videos and for live streams and podcasts and things like that. But it's a paid platform, so I realize some people want the free tools. But it basically comes down to the same thing again, isn't it? Twitch, when Twitch got valuated at a billion or whatever it was, that I can't remember how much Amazon bought Twitch for all those years ago. All of a sudden, a lot of eyes are going to be on the platform for good and bad reasons. And music industry was always going to come after it. Like anybody that has been on YouTube before Twitch knew that this was going to be the case. And we've got some news actually coming up about YouTube and the music industry. But I shared my same video, which is still just so relevant. It must be, you know, almost a year old now, talking about what music you can legally use on Twitch. And there's still just so much misinformation out there. I see so many bad tweets and recommendations and big streamers that are still playing top 40 tracks. And I don't know. I feel like even I'm getting weighed down by it now. I feel like I'm just becoming a broken record. But on this podcast, we've discussed it in a lot of detail, haven't we?
Yeah, we always say that's the subline of the podcast, right? It's the DMCA show or something.
Yeah.
I think a big piece of it really is that a lot of top streamers still don't take this seriously somehow, despite everything we talked about on the show over the last year. It's just crazy that I can still see like top 10, 20 streamers using these top 100, 200 Billboard songs on their streams and just not care. Maybe like they don't care if they get removed at this point, but I think that sends a bad example. If people are coming to stream and they go through all the trouble of doing this stuff, but then they see, you know, these top streamers who are using DMCA unsafe stuff and not getting any punishment for it. And arguably it's like more enjoyable to listen to that kind of music than a lot of the copyright free stuff, despite how good that is. So I think some people maybe just get tired of using it, or they say, hey, well, these guys have a lot more visibility than I do and they're fine. So, you know, they're not going to care about Joe Schmo with two viewers streaming this kind of stuff. And that's still happening to people like that. So I think that's the bigger piece of it. And it's really going to take, I feel like some examples, we've seen some examples already, people getting this kind of stuff and getting punishment. But I feel like that's going to have to happen more before it really takes the whole platform enough seriously right there.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's tempting for smaller streamers to have that mindset of, oh, well, XQC streams with top 20 songs. Why can't I? Like, surely the music industry is going to go after them. And there is some truth in that, I guess. But when it's an automated system, which is clearly what the music industry is building, and probably Twitch is also building some kind of recognition software, or starting to license them anyway, it doesn't care. It doesn't care how big of a streamer you are. They want their music not to be streamed without a proper license. So it's just worth sorting it out. Just get yourself a huge playlist of copyright-free music, or subscribe to one of these pay platforms like Pretzel Rocks or Monster Cat or Epidemic Sound. There's enough good enough free music out there now that I think you can use in the background of your streams. This shouldn't be an issue for anybody. But I realize that we probably talk to, you know, the more concentrated market of streamers. You know, we're not talking to a lot of the streamers out there who, you know, probably get a lot of their stream education from watching XQC, and then they just try and emulate what he does. So yeah, I do feel like a broken record, but it's important to keep reiterating and following it, because the next example actually we're going to share is pretty important, I think. So this is completely to do with DMCA. A famous poker streamer, I believe he is, Kevin Martin, basically had a tweet blow up where he talks in the video about how he got a copyright strike on Twitch, which he thinks is unfair because he has been using Twitch soundtrack. And obviously when I saw this, I was like, that is interesting, because there was some questions about whether Twitch had properly licensed the music that was coming out in the Twitch soundtrack software, if it was actually safe to use on stream. It turns out that actually this is more a case of not having set up the software properly. So let's explain exactly what Twitch soundtrack is for those of you that didn't watch the video that I did when it got announced. It was Twitch's way of thinking about live streaming and music. They built an application which has playlists inside of it, and all of the music in that application, they have a license for you to be able to stream that to Twitch. But they don't have the license for all of the music to exist in VOD format, so non-live content. So what they have done is they've worked with OBS to build a way of being able to send music in a separate audio track to your live stream, and then it doesn't get saved to the VOD. So that music exists in your live stream, but when you go back to watch your VOD, that track, the audio track for music isn't there, but all the other audio tracks that you use, you know, your teammates, your own microphone, your system sounds, your game sounds, they all still exist, but the music track in particular is removed from the VODs. And that they built that feature because they knew that they didn't have the licenses for the Twitch soundtrack to be used in VOD format.
Right.
And I think Kevin Martin, if he sets up his own streams, a lot of the big streamers have people that do it for them, didn't go down that route. So the music was just baked in, like how people have been streaming on Twitch for the past 10 years, like playing Spotify in the background. So the music wasn't removed from his live stream when it went to VOD format. And that's why he got a copyright strike. So there is misinformation there, and I can understand why he feels hard done by, and maybe Twitch is to blame a little bit about a lack of education there. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this? I knew this was going to be a problem as soon as they basically announced that the music was live only and not for VOD formats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it definitely is, at the end of the day, it's his fault for not setting it up right. And you can argue that Twitch really should pay up for the licenses to have it recorded there too. Because people are going to do this either way. Even if you educate them on how to set this up, it's not super straightforward to do from a user sense. I've even had issues trying to add it myself with it, like overriding OBS things, and I can't get any audio. So it's not an ideal experience for users. And I think it's going to keep happening if they only have the broadcast license and not the stored play license, whatever that's called. So I think Twitch was a little bit unfairly like demonized for this, because, you know, it really wasn't their fault the way he set it up. But at the end of the day, you could still argue they should have covered it with how they set up the contract. Because, I mean, we're going to talk about YouTube in a second here, but really someone in chat here said you're not going to get this issue at all. DMCA is on YouTube, which is true because of how YouTube handles it, which is different than how Twitch handles it. And so that could be the argument that Twitch is going to have to bite the bullet eventually and pay for this. Otherwise, they're going to keep having these issues and bad user experience for the partners and affiliates and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Twitch's solution with Soundtrack, I think, is a good idea, but they clearly needed to integrate it better with the streaming software that's already out there. Because, I mean, I have done a video about setting it up, but it's like part of the video describing what Twitch Soundtrack is. Whereas it should be something like when you create an account, maybe there's like a wizard to help you set up your stream. And maybe it's better implemented into Twitch Studio, actually. I'd imagine it is built into Twitch's own streaming app a little bit more seamlessly, let's say. But this is a classic example of, you know, the licenses are there for live music and he's still getting a DMCA for one of these songs in his VODs. So I hope the advice that a lot of people in the replies were saying was, you know, delete all of your VODs, because if you've been streaming with Twitch Soundtrack for a while in this way, where you haven't been sending it in a separate audio track, then you could have three strikes quite quickly and lose your account, which is this weird baseball system, you know, the three strikes and you're out type thing. I think it ties in so nicely to talking about YouTube's approach to this, because they wrote a blog post this week. I'll bring up the screen share. Basically, they have paid, in the last 12 months, they've paid $4 billion to the music industry. And the biggest thing I saw from this is that 30% of it is from user-generated content. So if we think about the other 70%, that is typically music artists uploading their music videos to YouTube. And that would be the 70%, because it's the artists themselves uploading the video. User-generated content is effectively, if I uploaded a video and used Katy Perry's song on YouTube, Katy Perry, or her label more likely, can decide to then take all the revenue from that video. I don't get any of it because I've used that song, and I don't get a strike. So it's a nice balance. My video stays up there, but I don't make any money off of it, and Katy Perry, or whichever label she's under, would make the money instead. So 30% of this $4 billion has been made for the music industry because of user-generated content. So if YouTube changed the rules and all of a sudden said you can't upload anything with copyrighted music in, then the labels would lose a lot of money. I could do the maths if I was smart, but 30% of $4 billion, and that's, you know, a decent chunk of change. So I feel like if the music industry is starting to learn that this is the way on YouTube, could they be more willing to have some kind of system like this on Twitch? And there is definitely more difficult situation with it being live versus a VOD format, but this is the first time I've really seen how much it affects the bottom line for the music industry with user generated content.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting to me about this too is that YouTube wrote the blog themselves and kind of celebrated it. It wasn't covered by a different news article or a different news source that was just talking about this, but they're kind of celebrating it. And they even said in the article, their goal is to become the leading revenue generator for the music industry. Like, YouTube is the number one thing for revenue generation, which is kind of crazy, but also it almost sounds viable with how big YouTube is and how much music there is on the platform. So it's really interesting. And I think it's cool they're just celebrating this as, you know, look what we're doing for music as a whole, and look how we're empowering creators with music. And it just seems so different than how Twitch has taken it, right? Where it's kind of like they're fighting the industry the whole time, whereas YouTube feels like they're trying to work with the industry and make something that works for both creators and for the artists. Because I don't think, like, Twitch Soundtrack is one thing, right? But it hasn't actually, it's not paying the creators as far as I know. It's just a licensing thing, just for the actual studios. So I just think it's really different from how Twitch has handled it. And I think it's actually pretty cool the way that they're really supporting artists and everyone in the music industry with how they're doing this.
Yeah, that's actually such a good point that I've never thought of. Is Twitch Soundtrack paying per play to the artist, or have they paid an upfront fee for Twitch as a platform to be able to have these songs live streamed? And I think you're probably right. I think they have probably paid upfront, which I think is less of an incentive for the music industry to get on board. Like, what YouTube has done so well, and I realized it wasn't an easy path for them to get to this point where they're here today, to celebrate like how much money they're helping make the music industry. But they have now found a solution that I feel like appeals to all three parties. So the creator uploading the video, they kind of know if you want to use copyright music, you might get a strike. You might just have your video monetized by the other party. And they've even built tools to help you realize that whilst you're uploading, or cut out the audio at that particular point. There's like, they've done a lot to help the creator. And I feel like the education is there as well for creators to know that, you know, you are playing a little bit of a risky game if you want to use music that you don't have a license for. And they've even built, you know, a library that you can use on YouTube of their own music. Whereas Twitch, Twitch is coming at this from like 5 years after, aren't they? And they need to get the music industry on their side somehow with either getting their music into Twitch soundtrack, or you would think that Amazon, because Amazon has Amazon Music, there's got to be some kind of connection there that they can work. You would have, I would really have thought so. And that may be happening behind the scenes, but we haven't seen any evidence of that, have we?
Not yet, unfortunately. But yeah, it seems like such a natural connection. I know there's some widgets and things that work with Amazon Music, but there's a lot more potential there. So, I mean, I agree. I hope that we can see more of a working with that on the Twitch side, and especially on supporting creators, because they do a good job of showing like the whole music section on Twitch now and bringing a lot of musicians on there, like Logic. But I think actually supporting musicians, basically, who want to have their stuff on Twitch, there's got to be a better way to do that than how Twitch soundtrack exists today. So hopefully we'll see that in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing thing, isn't it? We're going to keep talking about it because this is the DMCA podcast after all. That's all we ever talk about. Okay, so the title of today's live stream, the big topic is the emote updates, because it's not just a small change that Twitch is making across platform. And we've often talked about how one of the best things about Twitch is the emotes and the culture and the chat. They've announced basically as part of their 10-year reunion that they're doing a big update. So do you want to take us through this? Because I realize I'm introducing a lot of topics here.
I'll scroll through the page as you cover each bit. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. So this is really exciting. I think this is one of the best pieces of news we've gotten from Twitch in a while, is they're doing a lot of big emote updates for partners and affiliates this year on Twitch as part of their 10-year celebration. So finally, after forever with FrankerFacey and BTTV doing this, we're getting actual animated emote support on Twitch. And there's going to be a certain amount of slots for creators. I don't remember the number that we're getting right away. Did you see that anywhere, Pete, on number for these?
I think it was 5, but I think it might be lower down in the article that we get to it anyway.
Yeah. So this is going to be something where you can upload your own emotes, or you can animate ones that you already have on there with small little effects like shake, rave, roll, etc. And these are coming to partners first, is what they've said, and then hopefully to all affiliates by the end of the year this year. So this, I think, is a really cool one. The second thing that we saw was follower emotes. So in the same way that you get access to a certain set of emotes by subbing to a channel, you'll soon get follower emotes for following a channel, which is really cool. And I think it really helps incentivize a really good call to action for following a channel, especially if you have a very good emote, because it's so easy to just follow a channel if you just want the emotes. I think this will lead to a lot more people following across the board to get some of these cool emotes. And I think it's also 5. I'm not quite sure.
This one is definitely 5, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's really cool that it's not replacing. One thing that's cool is it's not replacing the sub emotes. It's like an addition to your existing one. So I think it's pretty much a win across the board for that. And the last thing they talked about was the library, which I think had already maybe surfaced a little bit, but basically just a better way to manage all your emotes and put them in different tiers. I think it's less kind of annoying to size your emotes, and there's more auto sizing in there now too. So just a better system for managing all that. But overall, I think this is one of the biggest updates we've had to the chat experience in a long time, and I'm pretty excited for it. So Pete, what do you think about it?
First thing is animated emotes have been a thing that a lot of people have wanted for a while. And it's great that they have built a way to animate emotes without needing to hire somebody to animate your emotes, because there's going to be a big demand, isn't there, for emote artists that can add slight animation, because it's basically the next step, isn't it? You get some custom emotes by somebody who's good at making them, and then you hire somebody to animate them, or maybe they can do both if they're really skilled in their graphic design. But there is this nice option that basically, as soon as you get this option in your dashboard, you can effectively add animation to your existing static emotes. And I'm showing the 6 options that they've got on screen now. So shake, rave, which is like changing color, roll, which is just a sliding effect, spin, slide in and slide out. So straight away, you're going to be able to, as I clear my throat, animate them. You're going to have to cover me whilst I clear my throat and then jump in.
No, you're fine. I've had the same problem. Yeah, I think it's really cool that you can just, if you don't have something custom right away, you can just animate what you have to start. That's one thing I've always loved with emotes, is just get something out there and you can always update it down the road. It was funny when they announced this on Twitter, I saw so many emote artists saying, well, I've got so much work to do now for people who have this whole new world of emotes to make. So I'm really excited to see what comes out, because we've had BTTV emotes and FrankerFace for a while, but I think they're still probably the minority of people who use those compared to like mobile users, things like that. So I think hopefully this will kind of replace those to an extent, and open up more of those to new viewers who are always coming in the chat wondering, like, what are these weird things people are saying in chat that aren't appearing for me?
Yeah.
So I think that'll improve that experience a lot for people.
But I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it, where you hope that all the emote artists that have been making emotes for people for like the last 7 years have saved the original copies of their files,
because
people are probably going to go back and be like, can you animate this emote? Because, you know, my chat loves it. But I do like that they've added some options. Sorry, having to clear my throat. It shows that it's been 2 weeks since I've spoken to anybody. follower emotes. We talked about this, I think, last episode, that there was a rumor that it was coming. It was found in the API. This, I agree with you, is going to be a really nice way to incentivize people to take the action to follow your channel, rather than just, you know, watch without ever getting new notifications of when your new streams come. I was surprised to see this be 5. I thought it was just going to be 1 emote that you could kind of entice people in with, but 5 is great. And then the library, I think this is really built for bigger streamers that have, you know, 100 plus emotes and want to bring them in for seasonality. Like, they have one for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas, like not one emote, but 10 emotes that are Christmas themed. And they don't want to have to like upload them and download them every single time and like remember where they are on their computer. So you can basically have a huge library of emotes and swap them in and out as you see fit, which is nice. Like, I think the emote system, this whole page that they've brought all of the features into one page, is actually getting pretty good now. Like, once these updates are going to be available for partners and affiliates, it's going to be awesome to be able to have all of these different features in one place. In terms of these updates, I feel like pretty much everyone said that they're rolling it out to partners and some affiliates, and they hope that it will be site-wide by the end of the year. That kind of felt like every single paragraph I read that was going to be the rollout. So I haven't actually checked if I have these on Twitch. Obviously, we are streaming here on YouTube at the moment, but maybe I do as a partner already have some of these emote options. But yeah, it's a big plus for the animation experts and the emote artists out there, because especially if you get 5 slots, then, you know, that's quite a lot of work. Ooh, my OBS audio just came up saying disconnecting, reconnecting. Hopefully people can still hear me. Yeah, it looks like the bar's still working. Never had that issue before, but you hearing those system sounds? Yeah, this is a new experience. This must be the new OBS update, which we are going to cover shortly. What do you want to go on to the next thing? I think you sent us a screenshot of the next thing, the Twitch activity feed update.
Yeah, this was a super small one, but basically, if you've used the dashboard on Twitch, or if you use OBS and you use the little widgets that show on OBS, they updated the activity feed with just different color icons. That's literally it. But it's actually nicer if you're just glancing at the activity feed, like I usually do, and just trying to see what happened quickly. Then it's easy to see things that were different from each other. It used to be just one gray icon, pretty much, for each one, and so now it's really easy to see at a glance, especially the big ones, like if you get a sub or a bits or something that really stand out, then you can see those pretty quickly. So just a small thing that I thought was cool they added.
Yeah, it's a quality of life upgrade at the end of the day, but these things make more of a difference than you think. Like, the old activity feed was actually kind of hard to read, or it wasn't hard to read, but it's hard to tell events from each other. And I know that you could filter followers on and off, so you weren't getting them clogging up your feed if you're a big streamer. But there's enough ways now that people can support your stream whilst you're live that I think it does make sense to have it more easy to react to at a glance. So I think this is a nice update. I think it looks really good. I had to get Ben to send me a screenshot of a variety of different activities, because if I went on mine, I haven't streamed on Twitch for so long that it's all just followers. It's just like people from my YouTube channel that see my Twitch link in the description and then go and follow me. So it's just a stream of follows, and it doesn't look any different to the old activity feed. It's just all with this pink love heart on the left hand side. So yeah, thanks Ben for sending through a screenshot of all the different icons, I guess they are. But yeah, nice set of icons and colors just to help you at a glance, really. This has been a lot of Twitch updates, but we've got one more to talk about, one more Twitch update before we head over to the OBS update, which is that the polls and predictions and channel points API has now been opened. So an API is basically a way for developers to build functionalities that talk to different systems. So this is going to be huge, I think. Effectively, the polls and channel points that you can currently run on your Twitch channel, but you have to kind of do it as the streamer from your dashboard, now have an API backend that people can take advantage of in extensions or in games or in things like the Stream Deck, or like it's basically limitless possibilities. Right now, my mind hasn't thought really too much further, but you could quite easily click a button on your Stream Deck that starts a poll that you've already predetermined. But much, much cooler than that is you're going to be able to get viewer interaction at big esports events where, you know, I don't know, maybe the viewers can decide which map they're playing, or, you know, what gun somebody has to carry or things like that. And it can all be automated from within the game. And we've got a cool example actually to show as well. But this is going to be big, but I can't tell you why it's going to be big until a developer puts the time in and makes like a really cool integration. Do you know what I mean?
Are you going to pull from your past experience and start trying to develop something, Pete?
I've lost all my coding skills. that you need to keep on top of it if you want to be a good developer. And I haven't done enough in like the last 2 years. But I assure people that there is going to be some cool extensions and even game integrations, like people building things within games that is going to trigger certain actions based on results from polls and also trigger the polls themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. I think this one's such a sandbox. I'm really excited to see people build with it, with the points and the polls. There's just so much you can do. I think they have the example here of just automating polls on a set interval, which would be really cool, I think, because they're a little manual right now if you don't have a mod who can sit and run them all the time. Points too, there's so much you could do with points, with that whole system of, I don't know, paying on other sites to use for redeeming things or for all sorts of stuff. Like, again, it's really just a sandbox tool for people to get creative with. So I'm excited to see what comes out with it. I'm not a developer, so I can't build any of this stuff, but I'm excited to use whatever people end up building with this, because I think it's a very cool tool.
Really, really cool. I've just noticed that we had a super chat. So thanks very much for the super chat, Dr. Non-Skills. They don't come up in my like Twitch extension that I have in OBS. So I need to update that to make sure it works with YouTube as well. But thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
And it will probably help Ben buy a Stream Deck finally or something like that. One thing that we did see from this is they embedded a tweet of a developer by the name of The Firewire, who built an extension that works with Minecraft. So let me mute it just in case he's using copyright music. You know, the DMCA is safe. But effectively, starts a poll in his Twitch chat, and the options are what they're going to implement into the game Minecraft. So lava flood, killer bees, earthquake, or lightning storm. He simulates a vote. I think another vote comes through. You can see here that it's 50-50. And as the vote countdown reaches zero, whatever option is winning gets implemented back into the game, and it like comes up in his in-game chat. So killer bees wins, and then instantly killer bees spawn in Minecraft. So like, this is a small example of what's going to be possible, and I'm sure smarter people than me will make incredible things with this integration. But yeah, you can effectively link games and the poll system, or games and the channel points prediction system. And I imagine definitely we're going to see like predicting esports, who's going to win each match. And then based on the prediction that wins, maybe you get an in-game item dropped to you actually in-game. It's going to be big, and it's really hard to explain like an API opening up as a big feature. But I really do think this is going to be cool. It's going to allow for you to integrate whatever you want with your chat and make it a much more, it's going to be a better production quality, but it's also going to be a better experience for your viewers, because they're going to really feel like they're affecting what's happening in the stream with their votes or with their like channel point predictions. Yep. So yeah, really, really cool. Let's go on to OBS. I didn't want to put this at the very start because I have just done a video on it, but OBS Studio, obviously whenever they do an update, I've messed up my ticker at the bottom. It says OBS Studio version 28, and it's version 27.
That is rookie.
Let me see. I'm gonna fix it, because I'm such a perfectionist whilst you talk through. But I did do a video on this as well. I don't know if you've watched it, Ben. I hope you have, because you're obviously a subscriber and you have
your videos,
notification bells on.
Time for that.
You probably disliked it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I got to keep you humble over there. No, I did see it. It was really good. I think you did a good job running through the features. It's so cool to see some of the stuff that's coming out here. You mentioned it in the first point, but the undo button is such a simple feature, like in concept, that's just going to change my life in terms of making stuff easier to edit on there and not accidentally clicking something and having to resize everything from that. So that, I think, was one of the biggest features. And then, of course, the transitions. That's a whole, kind of like the API thing, that's a whole new can of worms for the in-scene transitions and how those are going to get opened up. So I haven't actually had a chance to play that myself, but that is going to be huge, I think, for just new types of ways to use streaming in the future, and probably different ways to even buy graphics packs and things like that for the kind of stuff you can do. So I'm really interested in those two features for sure. Anything else to you that stuck out?
I mean, I kind of covered it in the video. So definitely if people haven't watched this yet, then do check it out. I actually named it right on this one, OBS version 27. So this is just a placeholder for version 28, which will come out in 6 months' time. But yeah, version 27 is, I think, pretty big. They always cram enough features to make it a big deal. Like, these videos on my channel always do it, like, incredibly well. Like, this one has only been out a few days and it's already at 50,000 views, which is by far like the top ranking video out of my last 10. You know how YouTube gives you like a summary. So there's definitely a portion of my subscriber base that just wants OBS videos from me. Like, stop talking about strategy and things like that. Just talk about OBS. But they always do incredibly well. And it's because the team that are developing OBS put so many great features in every single update. So yeah, I mean, I talk about like the seven main ones. I think Undo is something that people have wanted for such a long time, but it's kind of strange to call it such a big feature because it is literally just being able to undo and redo.
Right.
But that is a big one that a lot of people were wanting. I think for me, the updates to transitions, so the source transitions that you have now and the track mat. I've seen a lot of people asking for the track mat video on like a tutorial on this. So that's going to be really interesting. But the OBS team in general, I think, have just done like such a good job. All the updates are always so interesting to cover, and they haven't actually done a hotfix at all, so I wonder if they've managed to escape bug free. I mean, we did have a bug during the stream, so maybe I'll submit that to them, but it seems to be pretty stable for people that have updated. I haven't heard any horror stories or seen any in the Discord, but yeah, for me, I think the source transitions is a really nice touch, and I showed in my video, I wonder if I can like mute it and actually find the bit that I'm talking about, where you can set up effectively a Stream Deck multi-action or touch portal multi-action. It's this bit here. Where am I?
That B-roll though.
Yeah, this bit here. So I show that there's like a multi-action that you could set up where you can hide sources, change scene, and then show sources, and it can look really cool. So here's my preview of showing that, where I hide my webcam and my alerts. Then it goes into the stinger transition, transitions into the next scene, then shows my camera and which scene it's on. And that's all just done from one button press. So like, there's going to be some incredible production quality upgrades that you're going to be able to get from just that feature on its own. So I'm really excited to see what people that are much more creative than me end up doing with that. And yeah, it's just going to add that whole another level of production quality into people's live streams. So yeah, definitely check it out. Update. I presume you've updated to version 27, Ben. You must be running the latest.
As soon as I saw your video, with that undo button. Everything else was nice, but the undo button was, okay, I gotta get this now.
The funniest thing about that undo button feature was, I mentioned it in my script, I like moved a red square around in my OBS preview like as many times as I could, and then I control Z'd and counted how many times I could roll back until I gave up. I got to like 100 plus and I was like, oh my god, maybe there's no limit at all. And then I saw that there was a blog post released by the OBS dev saying that the limit was 5,000, so thank god I didn't try and actually count all the way to 5,000 just to find out how many steps to undo you could do, because like I swear is it Photoshop or something has like a relatively low limit. Sometimes I want to undo and it's only 30 steps or something, but yeah, you'd have to seriously mess up your scenes and sources if you needed 5,000 undos. But obviously it does reset at launch, so don't close it and then reopen it and expect it to be able to undo. You're going to lose all of the, all of those. We've actually got Exceldra, like one of the developers who's helped build a lot of these features, saying that there is a hotfix coming out soon. So awesome to have people like him watching this stream. That always blows my mind. But I know that he was responsible for some of the transition stuff that came into the new update. So yeah, really great update. Obviously, if you're using OBS Studio, make sure you download it, submit any feedback through to their Discord, which is super active. A lot of the developers are in there. And if you're still using Streamlabs OBS, what are the reasons to use it now? I don't feel like there's much in Streamlabs OBS that OBS Studio doesn't have. It's just maybe a little easier as a complete newbie to add things like widgets and stuff like that. But now that Undo is in, I don't even know what features Streamlabs OBS has over OBS Studio. So stick with the OG software. It's the best, in my opinion, always has been. And yeah, I'll definitely be doing a video on the matte track matte stinger transitions, because the stinger transition video that I did has been super popular, and I know a lot of people want to take that to the next level with a track matte as well. As another super chat comes in, I think what we'll probably do is I haven't actually discussed this with Ben at all, but we'll finish the podcast and then we'll get to the super chat questions whilst we're still live, so the audio version can still go up and we're not just answering questions. But that's probably everything that I think we had covered this week, Ben. So we've kind of gone to our normal 45-50 minute time, and I don't think we're going to have an episode next week, so it'll be another 2 week gap, and we need to work out what day the next episode is going to be on, because I might be attending a wedding on the Monday when things open up. So stay tuned to the YouTube channel, obviously, and to both of us on Twitter when we announce these kind of things. But we will be going live again in 2 weeks with all of the updates from the last 2 weeks. So who knows, maybe there'll be a new Spanish streamer at the top. The top three will all be Spanish streamers, or Twitch will have taken down its emote system because people will have found a reason to hate it, which is often the case nowadays. But yeah, let's wrap up the podcast section here, so we can cut the audio and then we can get to a couple of questions. So we'll catch podcast listeners in the next episode. Peace.
See you guys.